This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What the hell is all this business about OBJ? Can we get a first-round pick for this? Are you serious? We can get a first-round pick for OBJ?
You know what? I think teams would do it. I mean, the Browns got a first-round pick for Trent Richardson back in the day. So, yeah, I would still think that a team would be willing to do that. But even if they wouldn't, I don't necessarily think that it would be a deal breaker. I think you could find something that could still be a win-win for both teams. Now, I'm not saying they should go ahead and do it, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I think for all the reasons I wrote in the Browns Insider is I think it's something that they absolutely have to consider.
Well, I mean, considering it is considering it. There's a lot of things I'd consider. I don't think it hurts them. I don't think any player is ever untouchable. But what do you? I mean, if it weren't a first-round pick, which I don't find likely, considering his salary and what he's coming off of with injuries, what do you think would be a reasonable thing that would make Andrew Berry? Can you come up with a figure that would be reasonable for Andrew Berry to say, okay, yeah, we'll make that move. We'll move on from OBJ for this.
Well, I think they would. I 100% think that they would want a first-round pick for OBJ. And I do think that players of that caliber do go for first-round picks. Coming off an ACL, I don't think that would cause a team to say, oh, he's not going to be what he was before. People come back from torn ACLs. He's way ahead of schedule. So I don't think that would, be a deterrent necessarily. The salary is for that caliber, once again, of a player is not astronomical. This is the last year of that level for him. So a team could acquire him knowing that they could redo a deal. He could get some guaranteed money and, you know, and then they could have him around for another, whatever, 3 years or so.
Mary Kay, do you have any reason to believe that the Browns do think Odell is still an elite wide receiver, the same guy they traded for when John Dorsey was here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely they believe that. Yes, 100% they believe that. Now, does that mean that the Browns need to have him on their roster next year to be successful at $15.75 million? Not necessarily. Now, if they do have him on their roster, I think he will be a key piece of why they win and why they go to the playoffs and maybe why they excel in the playoffs. But they can also possibly, and they demonstrated this last year, they can get the job done without him too. Now, they didn't do it against some of the best defenses. They had an easier schedule. And when it came time to beat a team like the Chiefs, they were unable to do it. Maybe if you have a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., you're able to stack up against the Tyreek Hills and the Travis Kelseys. They would obviously have to find some speed at receiver, but I kind of made the comparison to what the Vikings did. They traded Stephon Diggs, and I'm not saying that Odell wants out, because I think this place kind of grew on Odell, and I think he'd be perfectly happy staying here. But the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs. It worked out great for both teams. The Bills, he led the NFL with 127 receptions, more than 1,500 yards. And then the Vikings turned around and for $2.38 million, drafted one of the best receivers in the draft at number 22. Now, the Browns could end up doing something like that. This is a really good receiver class. They could draft a great receiver in the first round and, still save on the cap and all of that.
I know, Mary Kay, we had some kind of silly and minor things attributed to Odell and his time here in Cleveland. Things like the visor, to the cleats, to the watch. None of that stuff was like a death blow to him, or nobody said that he was a terrible teammate or anything like that. But do you think any of that stuff bothers this Cleveland Browns front office at all?
No, not at all. I think they really, really like Odell Beckham Jr. I think he was a great teammate. Obviously, Jarvis loves him. He grew very close to Kevin Stefanski. Those guys text back and forth. Kevin really, values him as a player and as a person and as a leader on this team. So, no, it's nothing like that at all.
Well, Mary Kay, I'm hearing all that. I'm hearing your explanation, and I'm hearing you say that the Browns feel he can still be elite, Ooh. That they're not worried. He's ahead of schedule coming off all of that. Then I guess the question would be, why would you even think of moving on from him if all those things are accurate?
Well, because you're talking about a receiver who's about to turn 29 years old that you would be paying $15.75 million that could potentially bring a first-round draft pick. And that's why, because you would be setting yourself up for the future with a younger potentially player at that same position that you're going to have at less money, too, for the next 4 years, that you can use as a building block going forward. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. They might meet with Odell in the offseason, and he loves it here, and he wants to be here, and everything moves forward the way that it's set up right now. He comes back, and everything's fine. But they absolutely, they have to consider this, and they will consider this, in my opinion. They have to. It's just, you don't know if Odell and Baker are going to have the chemistry that everybody wants them to have. They don't really have any time to practice once again. So there are a lot of things to consider. But if I would think that if Odell expressed, and he has kind of in the past alluded to wanting to play with a Tom Brady type or something like that, I think it's a two-way street. I think both sides need to sit down and talk about what they want and what they want it to look like.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's this Jarvis Landry business that I'm reading online here? Do we need to restructure his contract?
Well, you know what? He's only got a $3 million dead cap hit for next year. So, now there's some talk in some circles about possibly having to do something with Jarvis. I don't think they need to do anything with Jarvis. I really don't. I mean, I think he's at a great price point with his salary. Now, the only thing is, what if the Browns decided, and I have no idea if this is in their thinking or not, but what if they decided, we've got almost $30 million wrapped up in these two guys, and maybe it's time to go younger. And to kind of turn it over there a little bit and to plan for the future. And, they're trying to build a Super Bowl team. So if they're trying to do that, maybe they bring in some of the younger receivers and start to develop them now. So for the Super Bowl run, they hope they're going to be going on over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years that they have those guys in place. I don't know if that's any of the thinking. I have no inclination that Jarvis is going to be restructured or not back or anything like that. But these are all things that they have to talk about as a front office and as a group over the next month.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's just a bit premature. Now, considering any sort of evidence of how their thinking may go, no, I don't think that they'd be thrilled about having $30 million wrapped up in two wide receivers. But I really think that's something they'd do gradually. And not necessarily just try to chop it off right now. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones was good. Donovan Peoples-Jones is still developing. Same thing with Rashard Higgins, even though he's no guarantee for the future with this team either. So I just think a lot of it seems, for me, to be a little bit premature. Like, we're still I don't know, Mary Kay's. I feel like some of us are still trying to be salary cap champions instead of going for the gusto like a team that was in the AFC divisional round should.
Well, they do have a lot of big decisions to make in terms of their cap and their roster. And of course, you're going to look at the double-digit million guys, and you're going to ask yourself if those guys are, you know, in the situation that they need to be in. Now, you have to remember, too, that this front office didn't necessarily make those deals. They didn't necessarily make those trades. So they inherited some of these things. And you never quite know exactly, you know, how they view a deal or look at a deal. Now, of course, they love Jarvis. They love Odell. They love these guys as players. They love them as leaders. They love them as people. But these are business decisions that you also have to make. Again, I don't have any indication that they want to move on from either of these guys necessarily. But, you know, these are definitely financial decisions you have to think about. They just extended Myles Garrett. Now they've got to look into potentially extending Baker Mayfield. They have to look into extending Denzel Ward at some point. Nick Chubb. A lot of other guys, you know, like you mentioned, you know, smaller contracts too. Wyatt Teller, Rashard, Terrence Mitchell. So they've got a lot of work to do.
Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. The Rams and the Eagles may be two examples where paying a young quarterback before you have to can come back to haunt you. However, maybe the Dallas Cowboys are an example of probably should have got a deal done with Dak Prescott. Where are the Browns right now when it comes to paying their young quarterback, Baker Mayfield?
Well, that's another key thing that they have to decide how they want to approach that this offseason. And another thing that they will be talking a lot about over the next month internally, or even the next, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months internally, about how they want to do this. And, you know, they've got really, really smart people making these decisions, super smart people. And, of course, they will look at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and see that, you know, both of those teams right now, if they could get out from underneath those big, huge salaries for those guys, you know, maybe they would do it. There is some wisdom in waiting. I wrote a column about that, which I think appeared first on Sunday, about why they could wait and not give him the extension this summer. And what they could do is just, you know, they could exercise his fifth-year option, which would be guaranteed right when they do that. And that's for 2022 at around $20 million. And then that buys you some time. That buys you some time to see if he is exactly next year what you thought he was. And you're not putting yourself in a situation where, you know, you wish you didn't have a, you know, $65 million dead cap hit on a guy like some of these other teams do.
Well, Mary Kay, what do you think Baker and his agent are thinking? Because I think they have some interesting leverage here, knowing that this is the Cleveland Browns. This is a team in a city that was so starved for a playoff appearance, and he delivered. His play down the stretch delivered. Do you think that he could be clamoring for whatever Lamar Jackson ends up getting?
Well, and that could happen. I mean, they could decide to do that. The Browns could say, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and give him the big blockbuster extension this offseason. They could get, you know, swept up in extension mania. Josh Allen will probably sign his extension this offseason. The class of 2018, they are all eligible for those big extensions. And the trend lately has been for the guys to get them in after their third year. Patrick Mahomes got his $45 million a year. Deshaun Watson got his $39 million a year. And the year before that, that's when Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got their extensions at $32 and $33.5 million a year. So that's what the trend has been. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And I understand what you're saying, that Baker and his agent would have leverage because of what happened. But once again, you know, that's why you sit down at the table and you negotiate and you work things out. In the end, the Browns might decide to do it before this season, like they did with Miles last year. But they also will at least give some serious consideration to holding off.
All right, Mary Kay, we've started talking about some potential targets in free agency or the trade market. So we'll run some names Bayou. J.J. Watt seems like he might not be happy staying where he is. I know his production has declined with age, but still was able to really make some huge, huge plays in some games, even though his game's not exactly of consequence.
Well, you know, I would be all for a premier pass rusher coming in and helping Miles on that other side and bookending those guys. And I would spend money on something like that. They almost did it this past year. They offered Jadeveon Clowney more money, or at least as much money as anybody else on these offers. So I would definitely go after a guy like that, a J.J. Watt, or somebody in that category that can bring you potentially double-digit sacks, if not double-digit, then close to it, and he certainly fits the bill.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Who'd you vote for the Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, you know one of them. So we will definitely be excited to hear if Clay Matthews got in. I think that, you know, Tony Grossi and I did the best job that we could to present him in the best way that we could, and it was an exciting day. I really, really hope. It's certainly not easy to go from 15 down to 5, and there were some really, really great names that are in that bunch. And so, it's not going to be easy, but I think at least he has a chance.
Is it difficult to weigh in what they did on the field versus what they did off the field? Baseball seems to be having a problem with that.
Well, you know what? In football, Pro Football Hall of Fame voting, that's not really something that's discussed, and that is really, and it's only discussed in the context of a person's leadership, sort of in the locker room, in practice, those kinds of things. I mean, off the field, things are really not supposed to be part of the equation that much. So, and there are definitely gray areas for that. And it was a huge issue with like Terrell Owens and some other guys, but that's not really supposed to be what you look at. It's about what you did on the football field more so than anything.
Mary Kay, I can't thank you enough for the time and for your candid responses. We appreciate, and all the very best to you and yours.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You satisfied?
Wow.
Do you think I'd ask her the question? Hard-hitting questions by me, were they not?
We brought it. I thought we really brought it. I thought we attempted, like we do to all our guests, we attempt to expose and undermine, to attack credibility. That's one of the staples of this show. That's why we have such a great relationship with so many of our guests.
Yes, I would certainly hope so. 216-578-0092. We got Dan Wetzel at 9 o'clock. Something interesting.
Can't wait to expose and undermine Dan Wetzel, the fraud that he is.
Coming up at 9 on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.